thank God for the presence of the Holy Spirit that ministers to our heart. And you know what? The Bible says our God supplies all of our needs according to His riches where?
Glory.
So when the glory of God is manifest, what happens to us? We have what? The provision of God becomes accessible to us. Amen? How many got needs? Boy, I need some stuff. I don't know about you, but I need a whole lot of stuff. Not one. I'm talking about need. Glory to God. Amen? Somebody say, well, He supplies all of your need according to riches. And when the glory of God is manifest, how many can sense the glory in the presence of God? Maybe I'm a flake, but I've learned. You know, I've learned some things. Somebody say, praise God. And I'm starting, you know, since I've been here, I noticed you can't be led by feelings or emotion and different things, but I can just tell when the presence of God is manifest or when the anointing of God wants to do something. Amen. I get kind of hot. Amen. Somebody say, praise the Lord. God is good, isn't He? And God supplies. So when the anointing of God is manifest, guess what's also available to you at that point if you meet God there? If you meet God in the place of supernatural power, supernatural ability, supernatural grace, guess what? Your need will get met. Somebody say, amen. So some people have got some great need tonight, and I want you to know whatever it is, God can get it to you. Amen. Amen. But you've got to be obedient to the Holy Ghost to have God meet your need. Somebody say, amen. I've noticed one thing, that the stronger, you know, the more that God tells us to do, even silly things, you know, that's the more God wants to do for us. And it's just as simple as that, right? Somebody say, praise God, and He'll give us more. Hallelujah. How many want more? Yeah. You want more? Glory to God. Good to see you here, Justin. You glad to be here? Hallelujah. You made that Thursday night service, amen. We tried to break in. Real easy, glory to God. But every once in a while, the Holy Spirit shows up, you know, and then trashes that meeting. Glory to God. Hallelujah. It's not trash. It's a good thing. Amen. And we're going to have some teaching tonight. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. What's your name again, my dear? Judy. Praise God. Somebody say, thank God. People are tired of hearing this, but when we say it, you know, it's true. You know, everything's going to be all right, and God's going to meet your need. Glory to God. It's already taken care of. Amen. You were trusting God. That thing came around. You're standing on faith in certain areas. You need a financial breakthrough, as if no one doesn't. Amen. But I'm telling you, there's a financial need there. Amen. And God said it's already taken care of. You're going to come into a season of great abundance. Praise God. I know God opened the door for you, right? He opened the door for you at that location. That's just a step. You're going to move up beyond that. Amen. There's something wonderful about to happen. So anchor yourself in the presence of God. Amen. God's about to restore a lot of stuff the devil tore up. Amen. And God's going to get you in a good place. Amen. And everything's going to be all right. I just sense that just about all I got back there. I said, wow, God's going to do something good in that direction. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Take me out to lunch when it happens. Hallelujah. Somebody say, praise God. We might as well go home. Y'all don't want to go with me tonight. Amen. And when the day, somebody say, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come. Okay, we're starting the second chapter of Acts tonight. Amen. We're talking about church. We said it. Now, if we're getting down to second chapter of Acts, they all went to the place after they replaced Judas. Somebody say, glory to God. See, God's got to get some things taken care of before He pours out His Spirit. Because there are certain people that can't handle a heavier dose of the Holy Ghost. Amen? Some people don't need to be crying out, more power, Lord, more fire, Lord. You know what all that stuff they're hooked up into. Amen? It'd be a greasy spot when the power of God gets there. Amen? Sometimes the real manifest glory of God, you know, is held back because not that we just can't handle, amen, but it would literally consume us, amen? So I believe before God does a great thing in any group of people, amen, what He does first, He just does replacement, amen? He does a purging and He gets it ready, amen? And after He does that purging, He comes in with the anointing and the grace of God. Notice that right before they went to the upper room and they prayed, and they were praying, they were believing God, and all of a sudden Peter stood up and said, hey, look, y'all remember Judas? Anybody remember Judas? Everybody's going to have a Judas in their life. Isn't it amazing? Everybody's going to have Judas in your life. You're going to have Judases in your ministry. Glory to God. People come and go. Amen. But you've got to remain faithful. God will take. I'm going to tell you what. Judas will always burn himself out. You don't have to worry about those that don't have pure motives. Glory to God. I've learned that. We used to get scared when weird people showed up, you know, and think. But you know what we realized? You just leave it to Jesus. Amen. If it's a true anointing, they won't be able to do no harm. Amen. You got to learn to outstand the devil. Glory to God. And the more you give heed to those spirits, guess what happens? The more you pay attention to it, the more you give heed to it, the worse that thing gets. But as soon as you say that ain't nothing but a thing, they'll burn themselves out sooner or later. Amen. You'll be all right. Well, here was Judas, even in Jesus' ministry. Now, if you can think that Jesus had 12 boys on staff, anybody, you want to figure out where did Judas come from? Anybody ever figure that out? Does the Bible even say where? I know it says what town he probably came from, but nobody knows how he got there. Every once in a while in ministry, as we're building the work of God, different ones of you have been in ministry, people come from everywhere. But everybody doesn't come with the right motive, with the right heart. And if you're not careful, you can be deceived. And you know, and you don't find out later on until they're kissing you on the face. Amen. They get real. Somebody say they're going to bring the enemy right to your door. Amen? Amen. But Judas tried to take down the ministry of Jesus Christ just by, you know, and I don't even think he was trying to be mean. I think he was trying to do the best he could do. He was just dumb. Amen. He just didn't agree with everything Jesus was probably doing. Amen. You know, he was the accounts payable person. Amen. He was. He was the banker. You know, he kept all the money. People that thought that Jesus was broke, he wasn't broke. He had lots of money. Judas was he kept the money bag. Amen. Somebody say praise the Lord. He didn't just keep fish. Every time Jesus needed something, he didn't go always to the fish. He had a money bag. And Judas was the keeper of the money bag. How would you like to have a devil in charge of your money? Isn't that a trip? Didn't we learn? I mean, that's usually how it goes. You know, isn't it funny how the devil, the first thing, that if the devil wants control of anything, he's going to go straight for the bucks. Amen? First place, if the devil wants to get in your pocket, if he wants to get in your home, if he wants to get in your family, if he wants to destroy anything, the first thing the devil does is he goes to against your finances. Amen. When the devil wants to take control, when the devil wants to take charge, the first area the enemy goes to is, somebody say, the money. And here was Judas all over this money, worried about all this other stuff. Went a little bit too far. Sometimes people get a little bit of money and they get a little crazy. You know, see, Peter and them were all doing other stuff. He said, well, I must be important. I'm the one that keeps the money. But he just overstepped his bound a couple times, you know. Not only was he trying to take care of what Jesus had, he was trying to take care of what everybody else had. Remember the woman poured out the oil on Jesus' foot, over on Jesus' feet. Then Judas got up and said, don't you know how much, Jesus said, don't you know how much that cost? We could have done this with that. Amen. We could have worn that out. Amen. For he just forgot the anointing of God, got so caught up in money and all this other stuff, he missed it. Amen. Well, he just burnt himself completely out. He burnt himself completely out, and he just died. And then right there in the upper room, somebody say, when Judas gets put away, before God puts in the anointing, he replaces everybody that bit you. Amen. Some of you had Judas in your life. Somebody, thank God your Judas is gone. How many had some Judas's leave? How many had some Judas's leave? Amen. Woo, nothing better than when a Judas leaves. Hallelujah. But you know, then you feel, then there's a void there. But you know what? Before God pours out his spirit, I tell you what God originally intended will come. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Some of you are going to take the place of a lot of people. Glory to God. Amen. And you're going to stand up there. So they replaced Judas. Amen. They replaced Judas. And I like to call this day exchange the brass for gold. Somebody say hallelujah. When God's about, God don't blow no brass trumpets. God blows golden trumpets. Amen. When God's about to really blow in your life, he gets rid of all the brass before he puts the wind through the instrument so it can sound a distinctive sound. Somebody say praise the Lord. And some of us get upset when God starts pruning us. He starts weeding us. He starts getting junk out of our life. Stuff that we thought was the anointing. Stuff that we thought was God. It wasn't nothing but a bunch of noise. People that we thought were all that. You know, they weren't all that. Then God gets it. Before God puts his spirit in us, the first thing he does. Somebody, how many you want to toot God's horn? Amen. Well, really, God wants to toot the horn through you. But before God blows that distinctive sound for you, blow the trumpet in Zion, sound the alarm. Before he can do that, he's first got to exchange. Let me say exchange the brass for gold so he can blow. And I believe that's what he did with here with Judas. You know, they had to replace Judas. They had to take Judas out, amen, and put the right one in. And then the anointing of God came in there. Somebody say praise the Lord. And they were able to blow those trumpets. Somebody say hallelujah. Now, Acts chapter, let's go there. Amen. So we get there. How many of you have seen some exchanging going on? Amen. Woo, hallelujah. Nobody wants to go, you know, you go to the place, you know, we've been through some stuff where we had lots of people then blown away. Amen. Then we had to sit up there and go to the place of prayer all by ourselves. And you just have to sit there sometime. Sit there all by yourself, say, ain't nothing going to happen. Amen. Someone say, get ready. God's going to cause it to happen. Now, right here in the second chapter of Acts, hallelujah. Ah, my, my, my. I got a whole thing on Judas, but I'm not going to get into it. Amen. Y'all all know about it. Amen. Someone say, thank you, Jesus. In Acts chapter 2, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, when they were all with one accord in one place. So say, one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from where? Everybody likes to make noise, but we want a sound from heaven. You know, today there's noises everywhere you go. Amen. But it's the sound from heaven that makes a difference. And suddenly there was a sound from heaven as a mighty rushing wind, and it filled all the house where they were seated. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues as a fire, and it sat on each of them, and they were all, so say all, filled. With what? And what did they begin to do? As the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, how would y'all like to get to the place where we just gotten with one accord, amen, and we just start to magnify God, amen? And you know that word filled was literally meaning the presence of God came and crammed that place. It crammed that place to where there was an explosion. And it filled the house of God. It filled the place where they were all seated. And they all began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit of God gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. Somebody say, praise God. There's a revelation there for some of you. Now this was noised abroad, and the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. Now, were they all speaking in different languages? We don't know that for sure. Some people say, now it did not say that they all spoke in different English or different languages around the world. It said they heard them speak in their own tongue. There are a lot of times that people will speak in an unknown tongue, and it may sound really crazy, but you know what? God will anoint the ear of the right hearer, and that thing that sounds like gibberish to you, glory to God, to some nation, that will be a sound that they can hear. Somebody say, praise the Lord. God anointed the ears of the listener that they heard him speak to them in their own language. Somebody say, they heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not these all which speak Galileans? How we hear every man. Everybody say, we.
We.
Then how do we hear? Every man in our own tongue, wherein we were born. Now look at all these places these people were born. Isn't that a lot of places there? Look at all those nations represented right there. Somebody said, then the gospel must be preached to every nation before Jesus can come. Then right here in the scripture said that every nation under the sun was right there. Isn't that a trip? So if you can look at it, if he just speaks to one, that qualifies it. Amen. Jesus got on the first day the church was in existence. Amen. They all spoke in the Holy Ghost, and every nation under the tongue, every nation under the sun was there. Glory to God. And everyone heard them speaking in their own tongue. They had a witness and evangelist right there. No nation is without excuse. Somebody said, so they say, well, we got to get over to China. I see Asia there, don't you? Amen. Look at all these places, Egypt and all these different places, Rome, Jews, proselytes, Cretes, and Arabians. We do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed and were in what? Quickly, you got to run. And they were all amazed. Somebody say, all amazed. And in what? Doubt. Now, a lot of people don't like to move with the Holy Ghost because they say if somebody gets confused, it's not God. Well, here we see it in Scripture that some were amazed and wondered what it was, and some were in what? Doubt. So all of them did not know what's going on. It's okay for people to get in things and not understand what's going on as long as somebody gets up there and explains a little bit later. Amen. And they were all amazed and in doubt, saying one to another, "What meaneth this?" Others mocking said, "These men are full of new wine." Everybody say new wine. "These others are full of new wine, but Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these men are not drunken as you suppose." Amen. "It is only the third hour of the day. But this is that which is spoken by the prophet Joel. It shall come to pass in the," what days? "Saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Young men shall see visions, and old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens above, and signs in the earth below, beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon into blood before the great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now they were endowed with power. When they went in the second, you know, when they were in that room, they were all praying. Power came. Everybody say power. I tell you what, they heard a sound from heaven. Something supernatural happened. Power came. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, he preached to the world. The first part, verse 13 through verse 21, that's him preaching to all those other nations. All those other nations that thought these people were just drunk. That's all they understood. They were all drunk. That's the message to the nations, what he just heard. That's what the world needs to hear, verse 13 through verse 21. And then in verse 22, he speaks to a different group of people. Amen. In verse 22, he said, "Ye men of what? Israel. Hear these words." Notice that he spoke to all the other nations. Then he said, "Ye men of Israel, I want you to hear these words." So the message to the world, amen, the ministry to the world is this. It's what? The new wine. Somebody say the Holy Ghost. Manifestation, signs and wonders and all those things are what we're to minister to the world, and that will win them. It's now in the nation of Israel. So, we're going out there today, but why not? In the nation of Israel, he said, listen, some people seek for a sign, but they're not going to get any sign but Jonah. You know, Jonah. That's the kind of sign that they get. Well, that's that nation because they've had signs and wonders and mighty works, and it didn't do them any good. They saw the Red Sea part wide open, and it didn't change them, did it? Amen. They saw God deliver them out of Egypt, and it did nothing. So signs and wonders are not going to win that group of people. They've had it. Glory to God. But the Lord knows exactly what to do. So their message is different. There is one message for those people. Amen. And that's the message of Jesus Christ. To the world, he preached, these men are not drunk as you suppose, but they are just very full of the Holy Ghost. So I believe that all over the world, glory to God, revival is going to take place. Amen. People are going to see the manifestations of God, and the world will know that Jesus Christ is alive. Then after all that stuff happens, they're going to turn around and say, "Ye men of Israel, hear ye these words." This is the only message we can preach to the nation of Israel. Amen. Somebody say, "Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you." Somebody say, "Among you, by many signs and wonders." He just went back to the same Jesus they rejected. Not a new one. Somebody say, glory to God. He's not talking about new signs and new wonders. He said the same signs and wonders that he did before. You got to go back to the one that was rejected. Amen. He said, "Among you with miracles and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him being delivered he goes on and teaches about David, and he gives them the identity. Let's go on and read it. Why not? Come on, Jesse, get up and get a microphone for me and read that. Is it on? Amen. Hallelujah. Let's read the message to Israel. Read verse 22. I'm going to say thank you, Jesus.
Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determined counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands, have crucified and put to death, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible.
Go back and read that part again. Go back and read a couple more parts. Go back and read, start again, and just go on again.
Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did through him in your midst, as ye yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determined counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands, have crucified and put to death.
Read that verse, that one thing right there again.
Him being delivered by the determined counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands, have crucified and put to death.
Keep reading.
Whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it. For David says concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is at my right hand, that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart rejoiced and my tongue was glad. Moreover, my flesh will also rest in hope, because you will not leave my soul in Hades, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You have made known to me the ways of life. You will make me full of joy in your presence. Men and brethren, let me speak freely to you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his body, according to the flesh, he would raise up the Christ to sit on this throne, he, foreseeing this, spoke concerning the resurrection of the Christ, that his soul was not left in Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God has raised up, of which we are all witnesses. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he says himself, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ.
Stop right there. That's the first message the church ever preached to the nation of Israel. This is right after the church was filled with the Holy Ghost. And that's in the second chapter of Acts, amen, is when the church became, when the Holy Ghost filled the church, amen, that's when the church first started. And the very first message, somebody say the same message. Message to the world was the new wine, joy of the Holy Ghost, that God's going to prove himself. Amen. Amen. Through the power of the Holy Ghost, the world's going to hear God speak to them. Notice that in the first portion. Then right after that, that same message. Amen. Because the world never got that. The world never got that. They didn't get all the other things that one particular nation got. Amen. They were supposed to tell everybody else about it. They never saw what God did for those people. Amen. They weren't in bondage with them in Egypt and saw what God did, how God made a way in the wilderness. They don't know all the stories. They don't catch all that stuff. They don't need that message. Now it's time. You know, God preaches something to you. Then after a while, you know, he doesn't have to do nothing else. Amen. You just got to believe it. There are a lot of people that sit up there and think, you know, God's got to jump through this hoop and jump through that hoop. The minute you hear it, the first time is enough for you to say yes to the will of God. He said, all day long, I've cried out, and I've cried out to a disobedient people. But they were stiff-necked, and they would not come, and they would not yield to what I want them to do. Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So here we got in this verse right here, we hear what they're teaching them, and he tells them straight up. He tells them straight up right here in the Bible. He said, now listen, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly, we have no right whatsoever. We are a part of the same church. We're to preach the same gospel, the same message, amen, with the same fervor, amen. Nothing's changed since then. Amen. All the house of Israel must know assuredly that God have made the same Jesus. Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Jesus himself came to that particular people. Amen.
Jesus came himself, amen. That's whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they had heard this, they were pricked in their heart. They're never going to be pricked in their heart until they hear that message. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. We want to walk on pins and needles. Somebody say hallelujah. Jesus Christ is Lord. And that's what it's all about. Amen. And when he preached that message so hard, how many of you think we're being hard tonight? Amen. Just by reading the Bible. That's very out of the way. See, today we want to go through all kind of rigmarole and all this other mess. Amen. We need to get and preach the same thing they preached back in the Bible. Amen. They were pricked in the heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brothers, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
That's revival. That's revival. How many want the Holy Ghost? See, there is a lot of stuff today. I'm sure you've been out there, and a lot of people are claiming to be baptized in the Holy Ghost and full of the Holy Ghost and full of God. I tell you what, there's some scary stuff out there. I mean, there's some scary stuff out there. You know, everything that glitters isn't gold. Amen. The Holy Ghost is given to people that have made up in their mind, amen, that they are repentant, amen. They want to go down a new road, amen. They want to go down, and they don't want to go down the old road anymore, amen. Somebody say, repent, and ye will receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, we notice here that we see two things. First of all, that first verse that we were talking about in verse 22, when they preached the message to the world, they weren't expecting that. Somebody say hallelujah. That's how God does stuff. After you come out of revival, God always wants to do much more than we could ever think, ask, or imagine. They weren't expecting that word. They were thinking they had to preach the same message to the same group of people. They thought, you know that message that they preached, the second message they preached to Israel? They thought that's the only message they had. They thought that's the only message that they had to preach to tell those people that. But before they even got to go to those ones they thought they had to battle with and go through all those other things, they said, wait a minute, before you even deal with that. Somebody say, glory to God. Before you even deal with Israel, amen, I want you to deal with all the world. And it's the same thing today. Notice that the first message went to the world, amen. The Jews got the word first. Then right after that, he started to preach to the world, every nation under the sun, all those people. The Egyptians were there, amen. Asians and all these other people were there. And he preached that message to them. Well, I tell you what, the anointing's still on that. After the world sees, the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, just like the waters covers the sea. That revival is going to sweep across the whole earth, and everybody needs to see, not just hear what Jesus used to do. Amen. See, they always thought that they only had to preach when they were choosing apostles before. They didn't know that. They didn't understand that the Holy Ghost was coming. Did you know that? They didn't think that they'd be. They didn't know they'd be Holy Ghost filled. So that when they were looking for an apostle, you find out, they said, listen, it better be somebody. They thought the only message that they had to tell people was the witness that Jesus rose from the dead. And that's a lot of people today. And they had to find someone before they even chose about. They had to be somebody that they knew that was with them and saw him after he died. So they could say, now I know Jesus is alive. I saw him myself. Well, what would happen after those boys died? My great dad and granddad said, Jesus rose again. Amen. And he saw him. He saw him. It's just like today. Elvis is still alive. There are people in Georgia, you know, people down there in Memphis still saw Elvis. But there are a whole lot of people that are ministering Jesus Christ like that today. And that's not God's intent. Notice that they said it had to be somebody that walked with us and saw him after his death because they thought that was the only witness they would have. Glory to God, that's not the only witness that we have. He will testify of himself through the power of the Holy Ghost. That's the only proof you need. Anybody going to believe what you said would happen 2,000 years ago? How do we know that Jesus is alive? How do we know that he's moving? By the power of the Holy Ghost. He said, this is Jesus Christ. He's still alive. I don't see Buddha showing up nowhere. I don't. Amen. But Jesus is still alive through the power of the Holy Ghost. And when we take out the power of the Holy Ghost, we take out evidence of the existence of Jesus Christ. Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So this Holy Ghost ministry, amen, the only way to win the world is through the power of the Holy Ghost, amen? Amen. They could have told everybody after Jesus arose and all this other stuff. You know, the only ones that went to the upper room that were the ones that saw him in their flesh. Nobody else ran. You know, Mary saw Jesus coming from the tomb. She went running. He's alive. He's alive. He's alive. Amen. But the only ones that were actually running to that room were ones that, you know, ones that were really close to him in the flesh. Did you know that? I don't believe they got any new people. They didn't get any new people. It was only those disciples that were right with him and said, well, he might just be there. We might as well go. Amen. Those were the only ones in there. So they really couldn't witness, you know, because it had to be, well, had to go by their word. But God wants it to be a little bit more than that. Amen. That's why Paul always and constantly said, and we say over and over and over again, we have not come with enticing words of man's wisdom. We're not Johnny Cochran trying to prove Jesus. Somebody say hallelujah. People write all these books. Josh McDowell's got one. Jesus is alive. Show up! Somebody say hallelujah. We write all kind of stuff. How do we know God exists? You know, God doesn't even get on people on that level. The wisdom of God is way beyond, you know, our mentality and all this other stuff. Getting in all that stupid stuff. You're not going to know God in your head. You got to know God in your heart. He'll show up, and then once you've seen him, once you've experienced him, once you walk with him, once he's filled you, you'll never be the same again. And there's never a question in your mind. Somebody say hallelujah. Amen. So they were all filled with the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And then right after that, amen, somebody say first the world, then God's going to get back to business. Somebody say hallelujah. And that's the same thing he's going to do right now. Now listen. So they preached the word. First of all, that thing that they weren't expecting was the witness to the world. Thank God for Paul. Thank God for Paul. Amen. Do you know, they didn't know that this gospel was for all the world. Amen. Paul came with the gospel to the Gentiles. Amen. Giving the gospel to the Gentile and all this other stuff. Amen. I think that's why it's taking so long right now, because God's trying to get everybody saved. But everybody just won't receive it. Now listen, here in and God giving them more than they expected. They expected Israel, but they received a ministry to the world. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And it just fell on them. I mean, he had to get drunk to give it to them. They had to get drunk in the Holy Ghost to get it to them. Amen. They didn't know that they had to witness to all those people. They had no idea. They just thought all they had to do was wait for Jesus, you know, and witness to a couple of Jews. Amen. All of a sudden, they got drunk in the Holy Ghost, and all the world was there and wanted to find out what was going on. They preached the gospel. And the day they preached that gospel, Paul preached it so effectively. Guess what happened? Then revival happened. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Let's go there. Glory to God. And Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Somebody say, thank God for that. Did it say you will? It said you shall. This gift is for everybody. Somebody say hallelujah. It says, for the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off. Somebody say, glory to God for that. We don't hear that message anymore. We don't hear that message anymore. Amen. This gift is, you know, people think it's just basic salvation. A lot of times when people teach this, they say this gift is just the gift of eternal life. No, it's not the gift of eternal life he's talking about. He's talking about the gift of the Holy Ghost, the promise that God would send us a comforter. And the comforter was the abiding presence of the Holy Ghost on the inside of us. Somebody say hallelujah. It's for everybody, and we don't need to be deceived anymore. Amen? It has not changed. And as many as shall call on the name of the Lord, and with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this onward generation. So then they repented. Somebody say, glory to God. And when they repented, they received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And notice right after that, they repented. The people began to repent. Somebody say, baptismal service. And I don't know why we just hadn't had a big time release to do a bunch of baptismals. And I never understood it. We got to be spirit led. And not just traditionally walk into stuff, you know, don't mean anything. Amen.
And after studying these things and studying the steps out how churches go and how things happen, amen, I want, why are we baptizing? What's the issue there? Notice we might not have any candidates. What's a candidate? Amen. A candidate is someone that has repented. Amen. Let's go here. Let's read that. Acts chapter 2, verse 41. And they gladly received his word. Somebody say, and they gladly received his word. It is unscriptural, I believe, and unbiblical to baptize anybody that can't receive the word. You baptize when people, listen, it's the word that brings healing. It's the word that brings deliverance. Amen. You get them to the point to where when somebody's caught up in the word, they're all right. Baptize them. Amen. You can baptize. You can dunk them in 1,001 gallons of water. They'll come up the same way. Amen. But when people gladly receive the word, amen. See, we got to, people think, oh, just receive Jesus. Anybody can say a sinner's prayer. Anybody can say a sinner's prayer. You know, but that's not good enough. And, you know, people don't like to hear that. It's the word that saves us. Amen. They've got to gladly receive the word. How many of you got people there? Amen. And, you know, 7 years ago, you know, they didn't say the sinner's prayer, took them to the water, and they're still out in the world. Amen. 8 years ago, said the sinner's prayer, made them spoke in tongues. Amen. But still addicted to drugs, still addicted to all this other stuff. They've got to receive the word. Somebody say hallelujah. Amen. And I believe as soon as we get people, as soon as we preach the word effectively in this community, somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. And people start to gladly receive the message. They had to gladly receive first. Somebody say first receive the word. Then naturally you can't help but baptize them. Somebody say thank you, Jesus. Does that mean it's up to us? No, anybody want to be baptized can be baptized and we'll do it. Amen. But it's more important that they gladly receive the word, then we'll take them to the water. Amen. Because there are a lot of people that hold their salvation in H2O. There are a whole lot of people, whole groups of people. You know, as long as I get up under that water and there's some groups, I mean, there's one Pentecostal group, amen, it's not good enough to go in the water. You got to go in the water and they got to say what they have to say over you. If it's not in Jesus' name, you're still not saved. Somebody say hallelujah. I'm out for souls. I'm out to see people saved, amen. I'm out to see people saved. Glory to God. Then they had that baptismal service, and they gladly received his word. Somebody say, gladly received his word. And they got, and then somebody say, then they gladly received his word and were baptized. And the same day they were added unto the church 3,000 souls. And is that enough? Is that enough to have a powerful work? Is that enough to build a church? Is that enough to see things go on? If we could just get people to gladly receive the word, then get baptized, that's not enough. And people don't understand that. Listen, the race is not given to the swift, nor is it given to the strong, but to people that have a mentality to endure to the end. They got to know this is a lifelong commitment. With the same passion you get in this thing, you got to keep it up. Amen. Not a part-time. This is a lifestyle. Amen. Now listen, right here after the baptismal service, and they continued steadfastly in the what? In the apostles' doctrine. And this is where people miss church because they refuse to continue. Amen. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. Now notice there's a group there. And see, people want to break this thing up. See, God builds the church, and we got to go in his steps and in his process. Amen. We got to do it the way God wants to do it. Amen. We got to do things the way God wants to do it. And one of the things I find when I read this scripture, you know, is as you grow churches, everybody wants to get into cell churches, and they really grow fast. They grow so fast, and we just had to have a release to go in that direction, even though it's good for some people. And I could never figure out why can't we get a release to just jump in this thing? Well, first of all, we just might not be there. And I see it right here in scripture. Go right here.
Now listen. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship. What came first before fellowship? Continuing in the doctrine. Continuing in doctrine. In so many places you go to, you know, they get a little fellowship group over there, and they're not grounded in doctrine. They're not grounded in the word. Amen. You get some Looney Tunes show up, the whole group goes off. There are certain people, there are certain places, you better be careful. You can't fellowship with everything just because it comes to church. You can't put on a name on your shirt and say, hey, look, I saw them in church. That's my sister. Glory to God. You'll get addicted to drugs. Amen. Just because they show up in church, just because they act holy, just because they speak in tongues, that don't mean anything. There are lots of places you go to. I mean, I know countless groups of people, and some of them in great churches. But if you hook up for them, I guarantee you lose just about every spiritual piece of joy you got out of you. And it wouldn't take you about 6 months. Why? Because they fellowship. Amen. See, what is their fellowship based on? The word of God and doctrine. Amen. True fellowship will start to happen as we hear and we start to walk within doctrine. That's when good fellowship comes. Amen. You just can't fellowship with everything. And I'm not talking about you got to believe the same doctrine we believe and all this other stuff. But you got to have the word on the inside of you so you can walk. How can two walk together unless they agree? As soon as we get the word of God on the inside of us, you're going to see fellowship take on a whole new level. Somebody say, thank God. That's a fellowship group. You know, you get fellowship with all these people that are coming from under every rock, out of every theological background, out of all this other stuff. Throw them all together, amen. You ain't going to go nowhere. And that's not what God intended. Those people need to get up under there and get in the word, amen. Get up under the word, get real grounded in the word as soon as they know about faith. As soon as you find somebody that know about faith, know about the Holy Ghost, know about the things of God, know about prayer, know about hanging on in there, amen, then you put them together. Somebody say hallelujah. That's the kind of fellowship I want to see. Faith-filled people. Somebody say hallelujah. I don't have to worry about them. They can pray all night long. They can go, amen. They're not going to go off on the deep end. They're going to stick it out, amen. Well, they might find somebody struggling in the same area. Well, what's that going to help you with, amen? They might be struggling, you know, and you find people like that. They gather around each other, and they never get out of it. It's that depression group. We all struggling in depression, you know, and they all hang out together, and they never come out. This is our inner healing fellowship. You know, how many been in there, and you never get out? You never get out, you know, and it's all what it's about. We don't fellowship around our weaknesses. Glory to God. We fellowship around the word. And that's what's going to bring us out. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's all right to cut people loose. See, certain people get your ministry, amen. But you can't walk with everything. Hallelujah. I like it. It's the truth. I found that out. You know, boy, we were lonely around town here for a long time. I mean, we were lonely around. I mean, we're trying to find out why our faith wasn't working, all this other stuff. You know, say, well, this was a preacher. I guess we're going to be all right. You know, this they got Holy Ghost joy, too. Woo! This is a word church. We got it made. Hey, amen. You didn't go anywhere. Amen. But you know when people put people in your sight. I like Brother Hagin says this thing. I like Brother Hagin says, he says, nothing like being in your own company. Glory to God. I'm not talking about being by yourself, but being around like faith. Amen. Isn't good teaching tonight? Isn't it good, Brother Justin? Hallelujah. Glory to God. You're going to be all right. Amen. We fellowshiping now, brother. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We'll get there. Amen. We'll stock you if you run off. Hallelujah. Amen. It's good stuff. It's real. Amen. It's real. And we can't, and see, that's why so many churches have gone off on the deep end. Can't handle stuff. One precious church, over 2,000 members. Took them 15 years to build a 2,000 member assembly. Amen. One person messed up and they all went off everywhere. Every cell and broke off. That's not the heart of God. You should be able to handle anything. If they were rooted to Jesus, amen, they would have survived it. Somebody say praise God. I tell you what, I got people over me, but if they mess up, I ain't going nowhere.
That's just them, amen? You know, people said, oh, Jimmy Swaggart just wore me out. Jimmy Swaggart, blah, blah, blah. It didn't affect me. Glory to God. God is still God. Amen. God is still God. Well, look what happened to Jim Baker. God is still God. I still got the Holy Ghost. Get over it and go on. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't let nothing stop you. You're going to see everybody that starts this race ain't going to finish. You better learn that from the get-go. You know, I've seen people get out there, 50 of them shouting all together, amen. Give it 2 years. Amen. Give it 2 years. The race is not always given to the swift, nor to the loud, nor to the ones that appear to be strong, but to those that make up in their mind, I'm going to endure. Amen. Yes. I'm going to stick it out. Amen. I'm going to hang on. Glory to God. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. Through the good and the bad, amen. The rough and the sad, amen. That's just what it's going to be. You can expect to have it. Oh, well, glory to God. Don't let nothing shake your faith. So say, I know Jesus and I'm standing strong. So say, well, didn't that mess you up? No, I didn't base my faith in that person whatsoever. Didn't affect me one bit. Somebody say, glory to God. I've been through some wild stuff. You know, I was up there, Brother Tilton's church in Dallas for a while. Everybody got all bent out of shape and Brother Tilton went off. I didn't get bent out of shape. I just got me the right church. Glory to God. I still got blessed, could still worship, could still pray. It didn't affect me because I knew God. Oh, hallelujah. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. Some people let stuff get to them that shouldn't get to them. Somebody say, glory to God. Anything could happen, they wouldn't give a rip. Church burned down, they wouldn't shed a tear. But you let one person mess up, then all of a sudden their world and fell apart. That person could have had cancer and died, they would have shed 2 tears. Amen. It's just excuses. Somebody say, glory to God. You get back to what God told you to do. Amen. You're a children's church worker. Amen. Hallelujah. It didn't say as long as that one's there, amen, you be the children's church worker, you get right back and you stick to what God tells you to stick to, amen, until he pulls you off of it. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's how we win. That's what I like about, they said when Brother Osteen would die, they told Sister Doty, amen, and you know, they said when he's gone, that's just about it for y'all. You know, Sister Doty and Brother Osteen's funeral said, I tell you what, I'm going to let you know straight up. He did a great job and God used him. He's dead at the funeral. She said, he's dead. This church is going to do better than it's ever done before. You know why this church wasn't built on John Osteen? It was built on Jesus Christ. Amen. So I'm going to say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Well, I got to go on. I'm going a little bit over. Amen. But we're getting there. Some say baptized, full of the Holy Ghost. And so fellowship. Somebody say fellowship.
Fellowship.
And see, we want to see all these things. See, they fellowship in the Word. That's what's important. That's how you can treat. We found out, how can you find somebody that's truly, are they fellowshipping in the Word? Is it the Word that they agree with? Is that the base of your fellowship? You know, I like to walk with people. You know, when I walk with people, I want to find people that are in the same word, in the same spirit that I'm in. Amen? Not people that are, you know, don't get off with people that don't get into the word. You get in trouble. And you find out every one of the ones that fell away and everyone, they didn't get, you know, they can claim whatever they want to claim. They can claim whatever they want to claim. But the bottom line to the whole thing is they had no fellowship with the word. That's the bottom line. They can blame it on whatever they want to, say whatever they want to, but the bottom line, there was no fellowship with the word. So if you want to get into a good house, a good church, you've been there, everybody's been there, wherever God goes you there, what do you look for? What's the foundation to the whole thing? Some say the foundation to the whole thing is the message and it's the word. Everything else is friends' benefits. Glory to God. Now listen. Now, before fellowship with one another they had to fellowship with the apostles' doctrine. Now let's go up to a higher level. How many like to go to a higher level? How many like to have a higher level? See, that's the problem with so many churches. It loses its power because it has no focus. It has no message and it has no doctrine. After they got in fellowship with the Word, amen, they got over here. Let's read on. Acts chapter 2. Glory to God. Somebody say hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now it says, listen. They did gladly receive the word and were baptized and continued. And fear, now listen, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayer. And fear came upon every soul. So say fear.
Fear.
Say fear.
Fear.
Fear. Say it one more time.
Fear.
Reverence. Reverential fear came upon every soul. Everybody highlight that in your Bible. That's a very important verse. It's a very important verse in this sense. Reverence is essential. Now they held the word. Now there are a lot of people that get the word and they got fellowship and they got all that other stuff, but then God wanted to take them to another level. In every wave and in every grace and every ministry and every church, amen, our prayer life should get us to the point to where we start to reverence. Whenever God starts to speak to us about reverence in any area, he's about to do something. One of the words that we believe that God's given to us as a ministry, and we don't see how because we're just a trip, but we sense God wants us to restore reverence once again to the house of God, to the things of God, to the ministries of God, to the offices of God, and all those things. It'll take us a while to get that. Oh, hallelujah. But I sense it right now. Amen. And then we understand why. Because, brother, oh, glory to God. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. There's a wave coming. But before that wave can come, notice it said, in the last days, I'll pour out my spirit and all these other things, and you'll start to see signs and wonders. Well, the last days begin at the second chapter of Acts. That's when the last days begun, and we're still in the last days. Anybody tells you that we're not in the last days, they're a liar, because it said it right there. Acts was the beginning of the last days. It's the closing out. We believe that there's going to be a final sweep of glory across this land. There's going to be a final sweep of glory across this land. God is not finished yet. The waves of revival have not ended yet. Glory to God. 1901, something kicked up. 1906, something kicked up. In the 70s, something kicked up. But we have not gotten the total dose yet. Amen. Something powerful in the mighty men of God. Those that have been generals in the things of God and the grace of God have been holding on and asking God, keep me here just a little while longer. Said, Brother Osteen just prayed and prayed because he knew what was about to happen. Amen. God, I want to be a part of this last wave. Amen. Brother Hagin prophesied. Some of you don't understand that stuff, but you got to learn about people. Brother Hagin, a different one, prophesied, say, listen, God's about to do something good. And God told him, he said, listen, you're going to see me when I come in the sky. And that man's about 87 years old. And they're getting ready for this revival. And it's more than I thank God for a Holy Ghost joy, and I got it. Thank God for it. Amen. I'm a Holy Ghost drunk and love it. Nothing wrong with it. But there's something more. And we got a piece of it. There's something more. We were on a roll. Amen. We were in this last thing, got out there. This place was almost full. And all these other things, amen, but we got a piece of what God was about to do. Thank God there are still prophets, real prophets out there. People have been out there. Somebody say, thank God. And God sent them down here, and they let us in. Some say, hey, that's not all it is, amen. That's not all it is. There's a bigger wave coming, glory to God. Don't get caught up in all the other stuff, amen. Stay right in the middle because there's a grander wave coming. Get ready for it. And they left us the prophetic word. They left the prophetic word and have to say, hold on, a storm's coming. Glory to God. But if you pray, sing songs and hymns and spiritual songs, you'll be all right. And we got the word. And they prophesied, said, and anybody that doesn't do it, they won't be here. Place was packed. We had all kind of money. Said, and when you don't do it, you won't be here. As a pastor, I didn't want to hear that. That's kind of rough. But I tell you what, those that didn't do it ain't here. If anybody's still here, you think, why are they here? Oh, they must be real strong in the Lord. There were a whole lot of strong ones in the Lord. There were a whole lot, and not everybody was evil, not everybody was wrong, but not everybody could receive. There are real prophets of God out there. And some things are really real.
And sometimes people say stuff and you don't think what they say is really the Holy Ghost talking until later on you find out. Amen. Every single one that didn't heed that word, didn't keep that word fresh in their heart, gone. And that was the seed, amen? That was the seed of us, of God, foretelling us what's about to happen in the stages to come. And we believe that God wants us to be part of this last day revival. I believe in the last day revival. I believe God's called me for revival. I believe that's my ministry, that's my heart, amen? And I couldn't understand what is the to be, because this joy thing that we were doing just seems to be so irreverent. And all this other stuff. Then God starts talking about reverence and restore reverence back. How, you know, and we were the wildest joy people out there, but then again, the most stick in the mud at the same time. The most, you know, we had river people. You know, we were, they wanted to get off in the river. And we had just as much anointing as any river church you could ever find. Sometimes more, amen. But there were extremes, you know. You know, we let the Holy Ghost do stuff, amen, and just all the other stuff. But there was still a foundation that had to be laid and had to be out there, amen. And we want, God can come through here tonight and we'll have a Holy Ghost time. We'll tear this place up and climb the ceilings when it's God, amen. It's still here. You have to make it happen. Notice, fear. Somebody say fear. In every season we get through this message, say, you better watch out. Trying to put that reverential fear. Listen, everything's, you know, everything's not common. There's some God things out there. Hallelujah. Thank God we don't have to go in revival with no fear. That certain things are still holy. Certain things are still gracious. Just can't get away with everything. You know, I'm not talking about God going, you mess up, God's going to put you out. God's going to blow you up, or you're going to get cancer or something like that. Amen. But people have no fear of holy people or holy things anymore. They are familiar and they're common. And that attitude is holding back the last day revival. So this is why we always get to the point in Nation Church, everyone, we get to a certain level, and we go right there, and God says, now reverential fear, teach fear. Because right after the revelation of reverential fear is signs and wonders. Notice, somebody say, great. Let's read it right here in the Word. Are we catching anything? They received the Word. They had fellowship, and that's great. Some people just stopped right there. And fear came upon every soul. Somebody say, glory to God. I wonder why. And many, somebody say, many. Many signs and wonders were done by the what? Notice in our nation, we had revival, and I know, you know, you're familiar with Sister Lindsay, Sister Anna Jean. These are my mentors. Amen. People that have been out there. Sister Anna Jean Price was the editor-in-chief of the Voice of Healing magazine. And you know, the big revival that kicked out in the 1940s. It happened late 30s and early 40s. First evangelist that really got out there in the supernatural was Brother Branham. And that revival took place in Shreveport, Louisiana. Amen. One of my former bosses, Dennis Aaron's sister, had gotten healed of a condition, and she was instantaneously healed. And that healing that took place at Life Tabernacle in Shreveport, amen, turned into a big revival. And that was the first. That was the first what we would call these, like what you see, Brother Benny Hinn doing. They didn't used to do that. That's unprecedented. Revival didn't use there was no such thing as healing revivals. Now, of course, Brother Dowry was moving in certain things, but Brother Dowry had certain signs and wonders, but it took it to a different level. And that was the beginning of the Voice of Healing. That was the beginning of the Voice of Healing, and out of that we got Brother Hagin, glory to God, Brother Oral Roberts, we got all them people in there, and them old saints, they all got up in there. And God was doing certain things, and what you notice about those meetings, when you hear the tapes and you read about what's happening, you get with them old saints, and they said when God was moving, there was reverential fear, and the anointing was high. Notice when we had several waves here in this country. The waves went through the 70s. We had the Jesus movement. Thank God. Sister Catherine Coleman was moving in the Holy Ghost. Countless people healed of incurable diseases. Amen. I'm not just talking about you call me back next week and go see your doctor and maybe you're healed and whatever. I mean, I'm talking about healed. You know, Catherine Coleman moving and Brother A.A. Allen moving and these supernatural signs and wonders happening. Why? Because there was still at that point reverence in the body of Christ. Right around the 80s. You see, the devil gets in right around the 80s. Some things start to happen all over the place. Amen. We kicked out certain things. You know, that's when it got cool. We got real seeker friendly around that point and say, hey, it's not necessary to do certain things, you know. That's just Brother Joe Blow. Amen. He doesn't have to be anointed by God. That's not a pastor. That's nothing important right there. Amen. We started to kick out. We started to kick out reverence. And the more reverence that we kicked out, the lesser the anointing of the Holy Ghost started to abide. Notice that we, you know, we wore out. See, what they've done is they defamed the ministry. They defamed people of God and done all these things. And now we're left with a body with no fear and no reverence. And God can't turn his spirit loose because we get out there and do something stupid. Not just the preacher, the people. God took care of the preachers. But I tell you what, with the attitude and mentality of most charismatics and certain other people, that's why if the revival of God ever took place, we got to pray it comes back to the charismatic church. You know what? Because it'll probably go to the Catholics or something, some people that still got some sense of fear and reverence. Because the anointing of God and the presence of God is so precious and so powerful. Remember the steadying of the ark that they just went out there and he said, don't even touch it. You touch it, you're going to die. And they thought, well, it's no big deal. And God, he just put his hand out there and he was consumed. Once we start to reverence the things of God and the people of God once again, that super God will turn up the power. He'll turn up the current. Amen. He'll turn up the current. He'll turn it up. Amen. And we'll start to see those signs and wonders again that God designed, that God wants us to see and do. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. So in a church, in a house, somebody say glory to God, fellowship, then reverential fear, right after the revelation of reverential fear, signs and wonders. And I tell you what, right after that, it gets real crazy. After you've experienced signs and wonders, things happen you never thought would happen. Amen? The last thing, if you were going to look at those things, if we close out right here, let me close out. You're going to get out of here by 9 o'clock, but we're getting through the second chapter of Acts. How many of you ever had the second chapter of Acts taught? Amen? It's more than just getting drunk in the Holy Ghost. Somebody say amen? There's a whole lot of stuff there. There's some steps here. And we want, you know, if we want to get the same stuff they got into it, amen, we got to put the same ingredients in. And we can get it out of there. Amen? I believe right now, as far as our body goes, I think we're probably right around our body. We're probably, if you look at the steps, if you wrote down your steps, we're probably around Acts chapter 5. I mean, we're around Acts chapter 2, verse 5. That's where we're at right now, Acts chapter 2, verse 5. Revival hadn't even begun to happen yet. Somebody say, thank God. We just got drunk in the Holy Ghost. Amen? Now, getting around to the close, this stuff will happen naturally. After signs and wonders happen, you're never the same. How do you think you got Sister Lindsay and different people up there living in conditions that they live in? Off there doing stuff, you know, in the Azusa Street revival. There was a revival in Azusa, California, on Azusa Street in California. This big revival took place, and that's where we got, anybody heard of the one-ticket missionaries? One-ticket missionaries, these people would get baptized in the Holy Ghost and start to speak in tongues. And if they started speaking China, if it sounded like they were speaking in Chinese, they bought them a one-way ticket to China. If they spoke in tongues and it sounded like they were speaking in African, they gave them a one-way ticket to Africa. And that's what they did. They said, I guess you're supposed to be called. They thought, well, we're all baptized in the Holy Ghost. We're full of Holy Ghost. Jesus is coming. What's he speak? What does it sound like? It sounded like French to me. Send them to France. And there's some missionaries out there that got to those countries like that. But you know what? It didn't matter to them because they had seen revival.
They didn't care. Whoop-de-doo. They didn't care. You know, it did. When you really get touched by revival, things don't matter anymore. When you've seen the presence of God move, you can do whatever. Nothing matters at that point. You do anything. When you've really seen God's presence, you know, nothing is precious to you anymore after that point. We've experienced this a foreshadow of revival in Shreveport. And what are the evidences of people when they really get into revival? They start to lay down their lives. Nobody has to tell them to lay down their lives. You can't keep them away. You can't keep them away. They can't stay out of church. They can't stay out of the presence of God. Amen. Nothing matters more. You know, I forget the career. I want to do what God wants me to do. I want to do, you know, that's evidence of revival. And you notice that after these signs and wonders started, it blew away their mentality. And right here, somebody say, a higher commitment. Why were they able, after this, listen, they got reverence God, and the apostles started doing these signs and wonders by the hands of the apostles, and all that believed were together and had all things in common. Don't you get all things in common until you see signs and wonders. Amen. Amen. I ain't letting none of you move in. Hallelujah. Amen. But I tell you what, there are certain people, when revival happens, it just happens naturally. You end up with people you never thought you'd end up with. Somebody say, thank God. When revival truly happens, it doesn't matter. Hey, listen, we're trying to hold this. When revival's going on, I mean, you do whatever you have to do. Amen. We had a little bit of revival when the church first started. We moved so many cars and houses and whatever it was necessary to move. Amen. You could let people because it's the presence of God. We higher fellowship after higher revival. Amen. High fellowship takes place. Now that's that verse right here. We're almost there. They had all, and all that believed were together and had all things in common. Didn't say all people. Didn't say all of them that were there. It did not say that. Everybody circle that. Don't you have anything in common with anybody that doesn't believe? Whether they go to church or not. Amen. People just come to church because they heard they don't know nothing else, but they know that scripture. You know what I'm saying? We put it all in together. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We're going to have all things in common. I ain't got no job. Glory to God. This one got a house. I'm going to have a house, a car, whatever else it is. But, you know, it's not that way. Those that believe, you're not supposed to be an idiot. You're not supposed to be an idiot. You have to meet people's faith in commonhood. If you see people out there that don't believe and they don't have a lifestyle of belief, glory to God, don't you put nothing in with them. You know, if God speaks, you know you're a believer. And I know you do whatever God tells you to do. Therefore, we can have things in common. When you're in trouble, girl, hey, I'm going to be there. Amen. You can get whatever I got for you, you know, because she believes. But when people don't believe, you know, you're just wasting your seed. There's some people you don't. Glory to God. Some say people that believed had all things in common. That's the thing what church should be. Amen. Church is for believers. Glory to God. And there's certain people who get in there because they think it's just a social service office. We want everything in common. No, it's not about that. Amen. It's about faith. Because I'd give anybody anything if I know they got faith. Because you know what? I know it's coming right back. Amen. Because that faith is going to produce it. Amen. You might be broke as a church rat, amen, but if you start to believe the word of God or whatever else it is, I can give you $100, not worry about it, amen, because that faith's going to produce $1,000, amen? Amen? When you find a person of faith and people that believe, you can get in common with them, amen? You can give them anything. I mean, you can play big ball. I like it, amen? Because it's common. They're believers. Somebody say, glory to God. And that's the problem. We've been burnt so many times because we left out words. You know, we heard stuff. They had all things in common. Amen. No, they didn't have all things in common. All that believed had all things in common. Glory to God. So when you get people that believe the word, amen, get common with them. Amen. Somebody say, hallelujah. Isn't this good teaching? People get up there and you believe and, you know, we moving, you know, you get to some places where it's nothing for them to move $1,000. Certain churches, you know, you could sow just about anything to them and all this other stuff. Why? Because that's their faith level. And they believe on that level, so it's nothing. Amen. But if you just get out there with people that can't meet that faith level, can't get in that stuff, you're just going to blow it. This is good teaching. It's good teaching, isn't it?
Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Pat me on the back. Amen. I'm going to buy you a cup of coffee. Hallelujah. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Give it to that sister back there. Hallelujah. She gets to come back to another service. Hallelujah. She's the only person paid to come to church. Amen. They say, I've been coming to church for 5 years. Amen. Now listen. That higher commitment. That higher commitment. Amen. And then at that high, when you get people on that commitment level, guess what's going to happen? Whoa. That's that line that comes in. When you get people on that commitment level, they start to have all things in common. You better watch out. Somebody say, that's when the increase of cash flow comes. There's not going to be an increase of cash flow when we're stupid. When we don't know, when people don't believe. You'd be just taking advantage of people. You know, not you. You'd be taking advantage of. You know what I'm saying? You bringing everything in and nobody else got faith but you. Nobody else believes but you. You know, you all excited about God. I believe. Here's my $10,000. Glory to God. You know, and you're the only one walking on that level. God watches us until we can develop ourselves in mentality to where we can walk in that level. Amen. When we all start to hear the word and our faith level starts to get there, amen, that corporate financial increase, and I believe we're going to hit that one, amen. Y'all don't know what's about to happen. It's good, isn't it? I mean, when I'm sitting there going, oh, you know what I'm saying, this ain't multi-level. Oh, this could actually happen. Oh. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Y'all, we're going to have some big money coming through this house. Somebody say amen, aren't we? Those of you know about, say big money. Somebody say, glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. Woo, glory to God. Amen? Yeah, she's not. Glory. Oh, hallelujah. Y'all just don't know. Glory to God. Woo, hallelujah. It's 9:01. Increase of cash. And as we said before, as we're closing out this, as soon as you get increase of cash, guess what happens? You get favor in the community. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. They're like, so say everybody's a friend to him that lends, that gives gifts. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Somebody say, should we get some money in this house? Guess what? We're going to have favor in the community. Amen. Somebody say, glory to God. Whether you realize it or not, people are thinking, well, I'm just poor and happy. When you get some money, you get more friends. Glory to God. Somebody say hallelujah. They had things in common. Finances increased. Glory to God. Everybody loves to go to church with people that are blessed. And they started to get favor in the community. Somebody say thank God for that. And after that level, and they thought that was just enough. Man, we can close out right here. They could have closed out there with just the gift, the joy of the Holy Ghost. And there are a lot of people that stopped there. There are lots of our friends that just stopped right there at verse 5. Oh, they just stopped there. You know, Rodney Howard Brown came through. Chris Harvey came through. Different ones came through. And they got drunk in the Holy Ghost. They've been drunk ever since. It's okay to be drunk. But there's more out there. They don't know nothing about reverence of authority or whatever it is. They're still sitting up there. Amen. There's some Looney Tunes still gazing into heaven. Amen. All these other things. But we have to go all the way with God. Somebody say all the way.
All the way.
We're not going to stop at just reverential fear. That's not enough. We're not going to just stop at signs and wonders. That's not enough. We're going to let those signs and wonders cause us to walk into higher commitment level with one another. And that commitment level is not going to make us all go broke and we all broke together, sitting up there wondering how we're going to eat, glory to God. We're going to go on to the level of an increase of cash flow. And that increase of cash flow is not going to be where we're going to stop. Then we're going to go on to favor in the community. And then right after that, somebody say, glory to God.
Glory to God.
And continue the day of prayer, breaking bread, doing all these other there's a verse I'm trying to close out. And they continued steadfastly, and they believed, had all things together, and sold their possessions, and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and single of heart, praising God and having favor with all people. And this is the awesome one. Somebody say, the Lord. Adding daily to the church. such as should be saved. I like that when he adds, not only, I mean, that's even better. See, and we just think God just let people come to church. The only ones the Lord added were the ones that were supposed to be saved. Wow! See, we can add a whole bunch of stuff, amen? But when the Lord adds people, it's people that want to be saved. You know, you can run a program, amen? There's some people that don't want to be saved. They just want children's church. Amen? There are certain people that don't want to be saved. They just want some friends. There's some people, they don't want to be saved. Amen. They just want a singles ministry. Some people just don't want, they don't want to be saved. Amen. They just want someplace to go. Amen. But when the Lord adds daily, he adds people that want to be saved. Glory to God. Say, when the Lord adds, it's somebody that's hungry for God. How many of you ready for that? Did y'all enjoy that tonight? It's 9:05. And we got down the second chapter of Acts with blessing. Amen?
Amen.
But why don't you stand up and bless the Lord? Just stand up and bless the Lord just a little bit. Amen?